And greetings, friends. There is a very real God. The prophetic events prophesied in the Bible are all finally coming together. But you need to know that a very real God exists. You need to talk to Him, to walk with Him, to pray to Him, to get His help and guidance in the perilous years just ahead. There really is enormous power in effective prayer. And I'm going to talk to you about that today. Power in prayer. Do you truly know how to pray to the real God, the God of the Bible? Do you know how to get answers? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith discusses power and prayer. And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, in this program, I'm going to show you how to receive answers to your prayers. Not just sentimental feelings, but genuine answers. But you need to know, and know that you know, the real God, the God of the Bible, the God you should pray to. How do you do this? First of all, you should actually study the Bible. Not just read it, but study it. Most of you know about the Bible, but you know you don't really study it. You might read Psalm 23 or the Lord's Prayer or something to get a sentimental feeling, but you don't know the God of the Bible because you don't study His revealed Word, which shows His mind, the way God looks at things. Learn to study the Bible. For God reveals Himself, my friends, primarily in two ways. First, through His creation. He shows us His power, the intricacy of His mind, the tremendous capacity that He has to create things and think through things all over the universe, the law, the unity, the conformity, all through the universe that God has created there. That shows God's mind. Then He reveals Himself through the Bible. And as I said, the Bible reveals in detail the mind of God and God's plan and God's purpose. Turn to Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. My friends, men all over the world for generations have suppressed the truth. They don't want to understand what God really says in the Bible. They come up with all these other ideas of their imagination. They don't like to recognize there is a Creator. They think we just happen to evolve out of the warm ocean slime. Man resents the idea of a real God who can tell him what to do. He doesn't want God intervening in his life. So God tells us, He knows and knew in advance here, that men would suppress the truth because of what may be known by God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Men truly are without excuse. Paul talked here about the ancient Roman philosophers as you go on, and how mixed up, how confused, and how they denied God and became fools. In God's sight, they're fools. God's marvelous creation demonstrates His power, His beauty, and the intricate laws He has put in motion. Picture this beautiful earth. Think of the mighty mountains, the vast deserts, the tremendous oceans. Think of the wisdom, the power involved in creating this whole universe. You should especially read the prayers in the Bible to learn how God's true servants prayed. God's mind is revealed through the Bible about His whole character, His purpose. But regarding prayer, He shows us how to pray over and over by the prayers in the Bible. Read those prayers. Then you'll learn how to pray to the God of creation. Then you'll learn how to pray to the God of the Bible. First of all, notice the Lord's Prayer, as it's called, back in Matthew chapter 6. Turn there with me. Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus Christ taught His disciples how to pray. He said in verse 5, When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Yeah, their reward was just the adulation of other human beings. But when you pray, go into your room or your closet, some private place, and when you have shut the door, don't do it in front of other people, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father will reward you openly. But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. That's a command. Don't do that. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. And again, people will take the Lord's Prayer, and whole churches will have the minister pray for a while, and then they'll say, "And as your dear son taught us to pray," and then they'll all mumble together this prayer. And he said just before he gave it, don't do that. And then he says, after this manner, he said, don't use this prayer as a memorized prayer. He just gave an example, the general approach to God. And what is that? Our Father in heaven, God is our Father by virtue of creation. He's the Father of every human being. And then those who truly serve him, who have his Spirit, he is their spiritual Father. And they can know him and know his mind, know his character, have his Spirit, his character, his very life in them. And so he is our Father. And we say our Father, but not just some man who may make mistakes. We should honor our human fathers, but they've all made mistakes. He's our Father in heaven. He makes no mistakes. He's the great creator, the governor of the universe, who sits in the high and holy place. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you better start right out praising and honoring God. Thank you for my life. Thank you for the food you give, the clothes, the sunshine, the rain, my wife, my children, every good and every perfect gift. And talk to God. Honor his name. Your kingdom come. After the thought of praising God, then you ask the first thing, for God's kingdom, God's government to come. It's not here yet, but it is going to come when Jesus Christ comes back as King of kings and Lord of lords, as you read in Revelation 11 and verse 15, and so many, many other scriptures. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. So we're not to ask to be millionaires. We're to ask for what we need, not always just what we want. So we need to think about that. And forgive us our debts. We're to ask God to forgive our debts or our trespasses. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So deliver us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive others, he went on to say. And we're to forgive others and learn to do that. And then he said, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is a very real Satan, the devil, and Christ showed that all through the Gospels over and over again. A personality, a wicked personality who tries to attack and hurt and discourage God's people. Ask for God's deliverance from him. Deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. This is the way. This is the general approach. This is the example of the way we should pray. And then in the very next verse, he said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, do you forgive others? My friends, we've all got to love and forgive one another. All of us make mistakes. Forgive others. Don't carry things around with you. Forgive others. Neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses if you don't do the same. Also, my friends, we need to read the prayers of King David. King David of Israel was the man after God's heart. He had a very special relationship with Almighty God. Think of young David out under the stars as a shepherd, thinking of the great Creator and praying to that God in the magnificent setting below the stars at night. The God of power, the God of awesome beauty, that God was very real to David. So many of the Psalms show David's relationship with God, and I'd like to read 30 or 50 of them, frankly, but I'll just read one just as an example. Turn to Psalm chapter 5. Give ear to my words, O eternal. The word capital L-O-R-D always means Yahweh, that is the original Hebrew, the ever-living one, the great God who lives forever, who has life within himself, the eternal. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry. David would often virtually cry out to God, beseech God for help and mercy and deliverance. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my king and my God. He was David's king, his ruler, and he is our ruler if we submit to him and are his true servants. For to you I will pray, my voice you shall hear in the morning. One of the very first things you should do during the day before anything else can intervene, before you get sidetracked, is to drop to your knees and start to pray to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't wait until bedtime. Seek God first. Then you'll have his help and guidance and inspiration. In the morning, I will direct it to you and I will look up. For you're not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The eternal abhors the bloody and deceitful man. This reveals God's character. He hates men who go around hating others, killing others, putting others down. And we need to grasp God's mind and God's purpose in making us his full sons. Notice beginning verse 11. But let all those who rejoice, he says, let them be really happy and joyful who put their trust in you. We must learn to trust in God. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let all those who love your name be joyful in you. We're to be joyful, knowing God is our Father, knowing that even though there are trials and tests, all things work together for good in the end. For you, O Eternal, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. That's our God. That's the Creator and the Governor of the heavens and the earth. But he's also our Father in heaven. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write or call immediately for a free copy of our inspiring booklet. It really will help you. It's entitled 12 Keys to Answered Prayer. This very encouraging booklet, 12 Keys to Answered Prayer, really spells out how to pray. More than ever before, you will have a complete picture of what the Bible says about prayer if you read this booklet. If you follow these keys, you will get answers. This encouraging booklet, 12 Keys to Answered Prayer, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. There's never any charge for any of our literature. So call or write now. Before you forget, just ask for the booklet on prayer.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now, my friends, back to our topic, power in prayer. Again, there is tremendous power available through effective prayer. Remember, my first point was to really study the Bible, the mind of God, and especially the prayers in the Bible. Then you will know what kind of God you're talking to and how he wants you to pray. Here's my second point. Secondly, learn to genuinely obey God. That's right. You say, why obey God? Isn't he going to help you anyway? Isn't he going to bless you anyway? If you were God, would you answer the prayers of those who virtually thumb their noses in your face? Think about it. Would you answer those who spitefully used you, who sometimes cursed your name, who despised your laws and your whole way of life? Notice what the inspired Word of God says about this matter, because God shows us his mind in his Word. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Eternal's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Think about that, my friends. If we turn away from God, if we sin, then God will not hear our prayers. That is, if we're continually sinners, obviously we all make mistakes. Sin is breaking the Ten Commandments, and the entire Bible shows that, and we need to understand that. If we constantly go around breaking God's great law, his spiritual law, his whole way of life, why would God want to answer our prayers if we are thumbing our nose in his face? 1 John 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness, or as the King James and other translations have it, sin is the transgression of the law. And as you read through 1 John, you'll see he's definitely talking about the law, the Ten Commandments. He wasn't talking about the traffic laws. They just had horses and mules and donkey carts back there. He's talking about the spiritual law. Sin is not just dancing or going to a movie or playing cards. They could be used wrongly. But sin is breaking God's Ten Commandments. Really come to understand that. That is a very important thing regarding prayer, but everything else about Christianity that most people do not understand. That's what sin is. When we break his law, when we continually violate the Ten Commandments. And you know that he was manifested, Christ was manifested, to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him, whoever is a real Christian, whoever abides in Christ does not sin, or as it ought to be translated, and some commentaries show this, does not practice sin. It's an active verb, does not practice sin. You see, we don't regularly sin. We don't keep breaking the Ten Commandments. Whoever practices sin has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices, and here the New King James actually translates it that way. They know what it means. It's an active verb all through this passage. Who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. So we must practice the Ten Commandments as a way of life. You said, you can't keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. No, but Christ in me can help me keep them as a way of life, so I am not regularly lusting and committing adultery in my mind. I am not regularly hating and having murder in my mind. I'm not regularly doing any of these things. I'm growing in the character of God, the mind of God, the thought processes of Jesus Christ are put in me through the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants. My friends, picture all the different churches out there all over the world. Millions of very sincere people, no doubt. But do they truly obey God? They don't even know God, most of them. Don't really study the Bible, most of them. Do they do what God says? Is that why their prayers are often not genuinely answered? They just have sentimental ideas, but there's not really a divine intervention? Think about that. Meditate about that. The third point I want to give you about prayer is to pray regularly. Remember when you were courting your wife? You had plenty of time, fellas, didn't you, to spend time with her. You knew that you were doing something very important. It's going to have a long-lasting relationship involved. How about spending time with your Creator in zealous Bible study and in heartfelt prayer? Time with God, time on your knees to think through the reality of God, to think through what you really want and express fully your heart, your soul to God in prayer and get to know God by this Bible study and by this heartfelt, regular, lasting prayer. Notice 1 Thessalonians, if you turn there again, the Word of God tells us about God. It tells us the kind of way we should approach God in prayer. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Continually pray. I don't do that as much as I should, but I try to pray in my mind maybe 15, 25, or 30 times a day, just going around asking God to guide me, be with me, help me, correct me, help me to see where I'm wrong. Learn to do that all through the day. Talk to God, walk with God, commune with God, fellowship with God. Pray always, he says. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Yes, as you pray, always again, be positive. Learn to give thanks. In 2 Thessalonians, he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul wrote the Thessalonians, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Notice always, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So Paul prayed always and in detail for the churches that he was involved with, helping them. He prayed for his friends. He prayed for God's kingdom to come over and over. His writings show that. Now, my friends, the fourth key I want to give you here, the fourth point, is to pray in faith and in Jesus' name. Turn to John 16, if you would, in your Bible. Turn to John 16, and here we find what Jesus Christ taught us about that. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 22. He said these things many times, but this is one key area here in this passage. Notice John 16, verse 22. He said, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take that from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. In other words, you're not going to be able to talk to me down here in the human flesh anymore. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, talking to God in the name, the authority, through the office of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our merciful and faithful High Priest sitting at His right hand in heaven right now. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Learn to talk to God, pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn back to Mark now, if you would. Mark chapter 11, and notice what God tells us here through Jesus Christ. Here Jesus answered after Peter remarked about a special curse put on a tree that God answered when Jesus gave that curse. And so Jesus answered and said, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have what he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. You see, if you ask according to God's will, if you ask and through the name of Jesus Christ, if you ask in faith and look to God in faith, you will receive. Again, my friends, be sure to write or call now for your free copy of our very important booklet entitled 12 Keys to Answered Prayer. This booklet spells out even more than I can give you on this program. It gives you a complete picture of what the Bible says about prayer. It will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So call the toll-free number now and request your copy of 12 Keys to Answered Prayer. Just ask for the booklet on prayer. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now, my friends, for my final point, number 5, pray fervently. In James 5 and verse 16, notice what Jesus' brother wrote under inspiration. James 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The fervent prayer, not some half-hearted prayer, the fervent prayer. Many of us in America are used to memorized prayers, quiet prayers. We don't put our hearts in our prayers. We'd better learn to do this. Notice back in Hebrews now, the book just before James here, Hebrews chapter 5, and I want you to turn there at this point, Hebrews chapter 5, and beginning in verse 6. He also says in another place, the prophet, speaking of Jesus, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, that is the days of Jesus' flesh, when he had offered up prayers, notice, when Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Jesus cried out with all of his being, vehement cries and tears. He was perhaps shaking. Tears were coming down his face. He said, Father, help me, deliver me. I can't go through this horrible thing on my own. Please be with me. He cried out to God with all of his being because God was very real to you. Is that God real to you? Can you put your entire heart in your prayers like Jesus did? The great God of creation, God our Father, wants us to be passionate about gaining eternal life. He wants us to be passionate about our relationship with our very Creator and our Father. Then there will be enormous power when we pray. Let's recap, my friends. The 5 points I just gave you in this program are, number one, we need to actually study the Bible, especially the prayers in the Bible. Number two, key two, learn to truly obey God. Keep His 10 commandments as a way of life. Point three, pray regularly and always. Point four, pray in faith and in Jesus Christ's name. Point five, pray fervently. Put your heart in your prayers. My friends, put these points into action and you will experience powerful answers to your prayers. Again, call or write immediately and request your free copy of this very encouraging and inspiring booklet, Keys to Answered Prayer. 12 keys to answered prayer. And tune in every week to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you'll gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames, John O'Gwynn, and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.